Good evening. In the short time that I've got with you all tonight, I'd like to start with this study that I came across while I was listening to a lecture. It's all based upon, I'm probably not going to say this correctly, but it's based upon the Pygmalion effect, which the study went on to do is they got a group of students together. And they gave them to certain teachers, and they deceivingly told these teachers, okay, this group of students are high-achieving students, these group of students over here are low-achieving students. And the students themselves were basically average students. They didn't sway to one side or the other. Well, with the teachers having this knowledge of which kids were basically the good kids and which kids were basically the bad kids, they taught them in this manner. They ended up teaching these students in this manner. Well, they had high expectations for the students that had, you know, they were the high achievers, and they had low expectations for the students that were the low achievers. And sure enough, within a matter of weeks, the students that they challenged and they had these high expectations for rose to those expectations and really succeeded. Whereas these other students that had these low expectations given to them and were taught in that way dropped down to those expectations. And so, it had nothing to do with the ability of the child. It had nothing to do with their environment. It had all to do with their teaching, and it had all to do, basically, coming back to it, with the belief that the teachers had upon the students. I found that really interesting as to how that came about. And I've been thinking about this for a while. And go ahead and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're in this chapter right now on our Sunday morning studies, and one of my favorite verses that anywhere in the Bible here, and it's these virtues that we find here. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start in verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a great list. And in the studies that we've had, we begin to understand what these different qualities possess. And we understand that, you know, it's not necessarily that we have to follow everyone exactly in order, but that as we go and we start to gather these qualities, that they start to grow. Well, I've for a long time, and I think, and I feel that this is probably true for others as well. When we see lists like these, we think, okay, got to work on this one. Okay, that one's pretty good. Got to work on that, and we start to do a checklist mentality of these lists, and we have them all throughout the Bible, and we start to do I can do this, or I can't do this, or I can do this, do that. The fact of the matter is, we have this list because God believes that we can do it. God not only expects us to do this, but he believes that we can do it. Sometimes we get in our own way about that. Sometimes we forget that, oh, okay, we were given this because we can do this. Not because it's a challenge, or not because we may not be able to make it at all. God doesn't set us up for failure. He sets us up for success. And the only reason we're given these expectations, and they're high expectations, the only reason we're given these high expectations is because God believes that we can do it. He knows that we can. And sometimes we shy away from those expectations. Just like in Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says, if God is for us, who is against us? Sometimes we think of other things. We get caught up. We become that soil that has the thorns. It has the weeds growing around it. That we get caught up in the worldly things around us. or sometimes it's just us. We get in our own way, and we don't allow ourselves to get to those expectations. We don't allow ourselves to grow and really become what God expects us or what God believes that we can be. Sometimes we get in our own way. I feel that's it's very, very true. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's a beautiful, beautiful section right here where Christ has already talked about his imminent death coming. He's talked about his betrayal. And so his disciples, the apostles, they are, I mean, they're grief-stricken. They don't want their teacher to go. They don't want their master to go. And so Christ comforts them. Chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Christ says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." This is it's beautiful. And Christ never really says, "Hey, I believe in you." But he goes to build these mansions. He goes to do this because he understands that these Christians right here, his disciples, his apostles, and this extends to us as well, are capable of getting to there. Just as he says, I'm going to build these mansions for you. If I wouldn't, let me not paraphrase this horribly. Go back to here. Verse 3, "I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." Actually, jump back a little bit in verse 2. "In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would not have told you." If it were not so, I would not have told you about this. Christ believes that we can make it there. So if it were not so, he wouldn't have said this. So sometimes we need to understand, or all the times we need to understand, that the expectations that God sets upon us, that the regulations, the rules, the commandments that we find, are not done to be burdensome. They're done because he expects us and he believes that we can make it there. We need to forget all these other things that may be bringing us down, whether in the world or whether it's within ourselves. We need to understand that Christ, that God, believes that we can make it there. That he knows that we can accomplish the things that he set out for us. So, with this short lesson here, short devotional here, I offer this as an invitation to everybody. So not only those that are not Christians, but those that are. If you feel like you've gotten in your own way, or you feel like the world has gotten in your way, it's time to live up to our expectations that we've been given. If you're not a Christian and you feel that you're ready to accept Christ as your Savior, it's time to live up to those expectations. The water is here. Time is now. Or if you feel that you have fallen away, that you have dropped down on your own expectations, and you haven't lived up to that level, time's now. There's no need to wait. Nothing like the present. So if there's any way that we can help you in any manner, please come forward now while we stand and sing.